The Sports Cage on Demand is brought to you by the Canadian Brewhouse, with the best food and drink specials and the most TVs for your favorite sports.
Good afternoon, Saskatchewan. Welcome to the Brand Center. Welcome to the Sports Cage at Mako Hockey Wednesday. Scruffy is with me here for another remote broadcast. I'm telling you, Scruffy, we've been more out of the studio than in it for the last week.
Well, at least we've got lights that work above us.
Yeah, good point. You didn't hear me complaining. I'm all in on the hockey on today's program for Mako Collision Center. NHL, WHL, SJHL, you name it. It's all on the docket today as we get ready for Game 4 of the Regina Pats Swift Current Broncos today. Coming up in moments, our NHL insider, Rich Sutter, for the latest on the bigs, Scruffy. But look, the Pats are down 2-1 in this series going into tonight. It's a pivotal game. They're not facing elimination yet, but they're still on pins and needles. And I had occasion to run into Jamie Heward, Broncos assistant coach today at the Hilton by Doubletree, or Doubletree by Hilton, whatever they call it downtown. They're expecting anything tonight, anything and everything tonight from the Regina Pats.
It's the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
What more would you expect come playoff time? I don't know what we're going to see tonight, I'll be honest. I didn't think we were going to see what we saw here on Monday in Game 3 after the first two games in Swift Current. Give the Broncos full marks. They deserve to win that hockey game, even though they were outshot 40-24. But I think the Pats have looked at things in the off day. I expect to see the same Pats effort tonight, but I also expect to see some chances that they didn't get materialize happen tonight. They'll find a way to get their nose dirty and get into those spots to hopefully, if you're a Pats fan, get this series even going back to Swift.
Lots of people listening in from Swift Current today as well. A lot coming in for the game tonight. It's either going to be 2-2 heading back to the Frontier City Friday night, or the Pats will be facing elimination after tonight. So that's what's on the line. Ratings have been huge for this game, and everybody's dialed in. And, of course, we got to talk about what happened up in Moose Jaw, our NPA last night by Moose Jaw. We'll get to that. But let's go out on the Wheaton Kia hotline right now. NHL insider Rich Sutter joining us. Where are you today, Richie?
I'm with our team in Calgary today. Just got back to the hotel from practice and heard you guys talking about those Western League games. They were pretty hairy game in PA last night, it sounded like.
Okay, let's start there. So the Warriors are down 4-2 with 2 minutes to go. Pull their goalie. They got six skaters. They score twice, tie it, and go on to overtime to beat the Raiders 5-4 and take a 2-1 series lead. Many are saying, Rich, that the Raiders are done. That's the dagger through the heart. They can't come back from that in a series. I think that's hogwash. What do you think that's done to the complexion of that series?
Well, I think if Curtis Hunt and Mark Hapshot are all thinking right, they're probably telling their players, say, like, look, we're down 2-1. We could be leading this series 3-0. So that tells us we're still in this, other than some brain cramps for 2 minutes of hockey last night that cost them three goals, they're in the driver's seat. So they got to feel good about where they've played and how they've played to this point. So I think that, it's junior hockey. Stranger things have happened with young men, but I think this series is a long way from over.
So do I. And by the way, I got to get your take on this series here, Regina Swift. Stuart Skinner, the first star the other night, and he earned it, Rich. Any shock to you that the Broncos have a 2-1 series lead going into tonight?
No, I did watch the game, Rod, and, Stuart Skinner is a bit of an enigma, and he is for a lot of people in the hockey world, and you just don't know what you're going to get with this guy. And until he's proven that he can win the all-important games in the playoffs, he's not for the guy. And obviously he's done and played games in the playoffs how he played last night. It's what are you going to get tomorrow? And I know what Swift Current's certainly hoping what they're going to get out of him, but I think the series is a long way from over. I think the biggest thing is Regina's got to get their nose a little bit dirtier, and they got to generate some more play in the offensive zone. I think especially down low off of that, off of the, even though Swift Current's defense is strong, they've got to generate some play and get dirty from down low plays. And if they do that, they've got a chance.
Rich Steenbergen, Godden, and Heppo Niemi have had an impact in this series. So far, the Pats haven't gotten that from their top players. And it's not a criticism of Sam Steele, Cam Hebig, and Matt Bradley, but do they have to provide a little more offense and a little more spark going into this game tonight? Because despite the fact they've had the shots, they haven't had the goals. And it's time for those guys to come through, much the way Swift Current's big three have?
Of course they have. Of course they have to. Hebig had the big game in game two with the goals. But at this time of the year, you guys, your best players have to produce. Your best players have to be your best players. And when you win, you just don't get that production from your best players. It's your foot soldiers too. The bottom six guys that also have to have big games. So, you know, going into the series, John Pack told me that he felt that Swift Current was one of the best teams and was probably the team to beat. And the Pats know it. They've got the work cut out for them, but I know they'll probably be ready for the challenge, knowing that group there. And again, that number one line, if the Swift Current number one line is producing, I would think if you're one of the three guys in the Pats, we are not going to let that line outplay us, outscore us, outproduce us. We have to come through with something.
Our hockey insider, Rich Sutter, with us on the Wheaton Kia Hotline. Wheaton Kia's spring bonus event extended to March 31st. Get a gas card with every new Kia. So if you're with the Blue Jackets and you're in Calgary, that must mean you were in Edmonton last night, where spotted the Oilers a 3-0 lead and then come back to rout them 7-3. What was the vibe in the building last night? I watched it, Richie, by the way. I mean, it was a packed house again, but they couldn't have left too happy, I wouldn't think.
Well, it was Fan Appreciation Night. They sent lots of money to Canadian Tire as a sponsor to leave the flags all over the building and all the seats. But, you know, it was a weird feeling in that rink last night. Even when it was 3-0 Edmonton, we truly felt that this game was still ours if we wanted it. There was two mistakes made by Bobrovsky and Sonny Milano. What turnovers that the things that we just don't do. They're uncharacteristic of the group. But when you got 93-97 on the ice taking advantage of those situations, we stopped them counting the first 7 minutes of the game and they took advantage of it. And then after that, we just shut the door on them. Honestly, I think it could have easily been 8 or 10-3. I don't think it was even close for the balance of the game.
Mitch, before you interject, Terry Jones said instead of Fan Appreciation Night, it was Fan Depreciation.
Yeah, I saw
night.
That. Yeah.
Anyways,
no.
Go ahead.
Hey, you talked about 97. The debate is on in full swing. You know I'm an Oilers fan, Rich, but I don't think that Connor McDavid should be in the Hart Trophy conversation this year. He's the best player in the NHL. Like, you look at the players poll, but I don't think he's the most valuable player this year. Where do you sit on that argument?
Well, I honestly can look at it both sides. The Hart Trophy is, you got to look at the definition of it, and it's a person's most valuable to his team. And when you say that, can you honestly sit down and argue the fact that give me two or three players that are better than Connor, that are more valuable than Connor to their teams? And with the production that he has provided compared to the production the others have provided. I think when you get to that point, Mitch, Connor has to be in the conversation. If you're going to go on the true definition of what that award is all about, then that's what it is. And I think that, you know, I know he's racking points like crazy right now, and a lot of these games don't mean anything, but he is still doing it, and I think he has to be in the conversation. And it's kind of funny. I sat there with some of our people last night, and even it was 3-0 just before the linesman got hurt, Steve Barton, in the game. I looked at the group and I said, "Do you got a feeling that we're going to still score 6 or 7 goals tonight?" So you know, we said minimize Connor. If he gets us 2 or 3 points, that is probably not going to be enough to beat our team tonight.
Rich, just getting back to what you said, and I don't argue with what you said, but when you compare Connor, who's on a non-playoff team, to a guy like an Evgeny Malkin, a guy like a Taylor Hall, a guy like a Nathan MacKinnon, who are going to be on playoff teams, although I guess Colorado may still not make it, I just don't know how you put one of those guys behind Connor, considering where Edmonton is in the standings. But I understand that, but those guys have meant a lot too. And Taylor Hall, when you take a look at New Jersey's scoring this year, I think he's like, what, 28, 30 points ahead of the next guy. MacKinnon has had numbers very similar to Connor this year and was out for 12 games with injury. So I just, where do you, again, is it going to be playoffs or non-playoffs that's the determining factor here?
I think deep down people are going to feel that way and people are going to lean that way when they vote Mitch. There's no argument in being wrong in the fact that, yeah, the guys you mentioned are definitely candidates. There's no doubt about it. I think the biggest thing that people are going to argue about, well, who is more important than Pittsburgh? Evgeny Malkin or Sidney Crosby? You know, so in New Jersey, Taylor Hall is trying to carry that team into the playoffs. Are they there yet? No, they're not. They're no different than our team right now. So I think it's going to come down to, like you said, some people are going to weigh their vote on, okay, is this a playoff team or is this not a playoff team? And I think this is going to be a really interesting year for voting because I think this is the first year where you are entitled to, when you vote, make that vote, it's going to become public knowledge who that person voted for. And I really think, personally, that will weigh in on how some people will vote.
Wow. I'm not sure I like that idea.
I do. I love it.
But yeah, well, we'll debate that next segment. But, Richie, last one for you. I could go down the negative road and talk about the Flames. I'd prefer to go down the positive road and talk about the Winnipeg Jets.
Oh.
Could they win the Stanley Cup this year?
You know, I saw them play the other night against Anaheim, and there was probably 10 or 11 NHL teams in the building that night with representatives from manager hockey operations staffs. And you could have went up and down that press box, and everyone would have said the same thing. Have you ever seen a game that was so dominated with puck possession and offensive zone time and scoring chances for compared to against by any team this year in the National Hockey League? I don't know I don't know when it was the last game or 100 games or years I saw a team so dominant how Winnipeg was the other night against Anaheim, and I was going, oh my gosh, this is one team that's got everything it needs to make a deep run into the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, for their sake, I hope they do. Because you know what? You were just there last week. Those fans deserve it.
It would be fun. And it would be great for not just Manitoba, but for Western Canada. You know, we are cheering for, as Canadians, you know, we got two teams that are going to be in it. And I guess one team's out east that is in the hockey capital of the world. And one team's out west. And I think we should cheer loud and clear and long for the team.
I agree. Rich, great talking to you. Enjoy Calgary, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, guys, take care. Talk soon.
All right.
See you, Rich.
Richie Sutter joining us on the Wheaton Kia Hotline. Sharky will be around a little later on. I think, Mitch, you and I have got a lot to chew on after that discussion with Rich.
Yep.
I know you're
pro McDavid on this one.
Yeah, how can you not be? And how can you not be?
I love Connor.
Yeah.
But I also see the numbers and go.
Yeah, I see the numbers. That's why he needs to be the Hart Trophy winner.
You're sounding like Ballsy now.
No.
Yeah. Well, you're sounding like Ballsy.
Not ripping Todd McClellan.
You haven't heard his argument on this?
Hang on. We'll be right back. Sports Cage is live from the Brand Center. Game 4 coming up here tonight. Pats and Broncos. This is Rider Radio 620 CKRM. Cage continues live from the Brand Center as we look at the Boston Pizza afternoon rush. Curling Canada is looking at a rule exemption in order to allow an altered Jennifer Jones squad to return as Team Canada at the 2019 Scotties. Under the current setup, a team must have at three of the four members from a winning team return, but Vice Skip Caitlin Laws did not play because she was preparing for the mixed doubles event at the Winter Olympics, and second Jill Officer has since announced her retirement. Cleveland Cavaliers all-star forward Kevin Love is in the NBA's concussion protocol after being elbowed in the face. He was struck by Miami's Jordan Mickey early in yesterday's game at Miami. He briefly returned to the floor but experienced concussion-like symptoms at halftime. The Cavs said he'll miss tonight's game against Charlotte. And that is the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. Head to Boston Pizza for Rib Rages all month long, a full rack of slow-roasted ribs, and two delicious sides, only $17.95. Boston Pizza, gather round. Okay, Scruffy, spill it. You were just ready to go before we went to the break. Ballsy's argument on McDavid?
Ballsy's argument is the same as yours, that he should be the Hart Trophy candidate or the Hart Trophy winner without a doubt because he's the best player in the NHL. He is the best player in the NHL, but is he the most valuable to his team? And I say he's not. If you were so good, you need to get your team into the playoffs. Now, is it Connor McDavid's fault that they're not in the playoffs? No. But, sorry, if you're not a playoff team, you can't be considered for the Hart Trophy.
Well, Mario Lemieux won it 1988.
And now here comes Sharky, and he'll gang up on me because he always does with you. So we'll see what he says.
Well, don't be so quick to think that I'm going to criticize
you. He always do.
So. But I am going to criticize you on this.
Well,
there's no doubt about it.
Of course you are, because I knew you would.
Well, hey.
If I said the Earth was round and Rod said it was flat, you'd say it's flat. So here we go.
What do you remember?
It's oblong.
What do you remember in 1988? When Mario Lemieux won the MVP, I remember that he was so head and shoulders above everybody else that he had to win it. And it's the same criteria now. I think Connor McDavid, this is just me saying, is so head and shoulders better than everybody else that he should win it.
Is he 20 points ahead of the next guy
in the scoring race
like Mario was?
There's a trophy for points. It's called the Art Ross Trophy.
Which you'll win. You'll win the Ted Lindsay Award.
How can you... It's wrong. And by the way, the rules of the trophy don't stipulate that you can't win it if you're out of the playoffs. So why are you saying that you can't win it if you're on a non-playoff team?
Well, generally, if you're going to, you have one of the players from one of your top teams win your MVP award. That's just the way it's been, no matter what.
Sam Steele
was on a non-playoff team last year, do you think he would have been the Canadian Hockey League Player of the Year? I doubt it.
Didn't Josh Harding win the Player of the Year and the CHL Goalie of the Year on a crappy Pats team?
Didn't Jordan Eberle win it on a bad team?
Yeah, so I don't buy that argument. And to say that Connor couldn't get the Oilers into the playoffs? Jesus Christ couldn't get the Oilers into the playoffs. That's not an indictment on Connor McDavid.
But Jesus plays left wing, though, so it's different.
Yeah, Randy's not center.
Well, maybe they had a better goaltender.
If he can
that's
take draws.
Story, but...
Oh, and that reminds me. So I did watch the game last night. Horrible what happened to the linesman, by the way.
Yeah,
were you
kidding.
Home
yeah.
in time to see that? But it's like Cam Talbot's getting the hook again. Like, they're just so bad.
Like, he stopped, what, 8 of 12 shots? Like, for a basketball player, that's great from the foul line. Save percentage? Not so much. Like,
you know what?
There's got to be changes with that team this year, and we know that's going to come. One of them has to be in net. Because he has been god-awful terrible this year.
You're starting to sound like Flames fans.
He hasn't won a game for them this year. And if he has, I'd like to know when it was. And he's probably, like, how many third-period leads have they blown this year? And yes, you can't just put the blame on one guy. It's going to be the team. But that's 10 or 12 points. They could be right there fighting for a playoff spot as bad as what they've been. But
To me, the stat that blows me away is that they're leading the league in penalty kill on the road, and they're dead last at home. Like that, I still can't put that together in my head as to how that would work.
And it's not even like the disparity. Like they're 87% on the road and like 65%
at
home.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, like how do you have that happen?
I can't find anybody in hockey who can help explain that to me and how that's taking place.
Well, that's one of the reasons why they are a dumpster fire. That's not the only reason.
No.
I mean, I watch the games. Again, the Flames blame the goalie. And they actually think it's the goalie's fault that they're going to miss the playoffs. In Edmonton, you watch the games. They turn the puck over. Sometimes they act like it's a hot potato. They don't even want it.
When I started watching last night, when I was doing the Access show last night, so when I got home, it was 3-1.
When so you missed the linesman.
I saw the replay of it. But there was one point in the game last night where I think Columbus had the puck for like at least 90 seconds in the zone.
Oh, yeah. That's been happening all year. Yeah. And you can't blame the goalie for that. We'll be back to the Brandt Center after this timeout. Sports Cage is brought to you by Mako Collision Center on 620 CK. Sports Cage continues. We are live from the Brandt Center in advance of the Pats and the Swift Current Broncos in Game 4 of this first-round WHL playoff series. We are brought to you by Mako Collision Center. When you've had an 0-1, a perfect again, better get Mako. Sharky and Scruffy are with me. Our phone, I tell you, it's alternating between the Pats series and the NHL.
Yeah,
which is
it should
great.
Be. It's for, that time of year.
For a Hockey Wednesday, that is fantastic.
Has tonight. Ian weighed in on Moose Jaw PA yet?
He will. Just hang on. He's probably out feeding the cows.
That's true.
Or milking them. Just hang on. By the way, you can write us on Twitter right here at our broadcast location, at Rod Peterson's, brought to you by Mad Jack Flavored Malt Beverage with three new flavors in 2018, lemon, iced tea, and tropical punch. Mad Jack, crazy good. Please drink responsibly. Regarding the McDavid for MVP argument, I say he should win the Hart. Mitch says he should not. Sharky, you are on the...
I believe he has an opportunity to win it.
Of course. Should he win it or not? Who are you voting for if you have a vote?
Nathan MacKinnon.
So it's a no.
Well, no. I believe that he could win it. I'm saying... I'm the opposite of Scruffy, who says that he can't win it because he's not on the right team.
Did you get into politics in the last week? Take a stand.
Nathan MacKinnon's the favorite. Yes. Nathan MacKinnon's my choice.
James in Regina writes in, says, hey, boys, I'm with Roddy on this MVP deal. McDavid is the MVP of the Oilers. I believe he's got 8 games left and will absolutely run away with the scoring title and perhaps even finish 15 points ahead of whomever. Sheldon from Moose Jaw writes in, says, has Sam Steele seen very much ice time? Haven't noticed him out there. Steenbergen has as many points as Steele and Hebig combined.
How many does Hellebuyck have?
I'm not sure, but they're up 2-1. So, but if you haven't seen Sam Steele, what are you watching? You've got it on the wrong channel.
Yep.
He's double shifting at center. He's taking like almost every draw.
I would have liked to know how many minutes he took the other night, because he had to have been
close to 30.
I was going to say he had to be close to 25, 30.
Mike from Swift Current listening. He says it's a good thing Vosler was loud at game 3, because when he wasn't talking, you could hear a pin drop in the rink. Classic part-time fans in Regina. Hashtag Broncos in 6. Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty outspoken, isn't it? Jeez.
Is he wrong?
He's got a point.
I was going to say, is he wrong?
Regina's not a loud rink to begin
never
with.
It never has been.
No, it never has been. So to expect that, and it's Swift Current's not a loud rink. They're not cheering the whole game or going nuts. There's a lot of hockey aficionados in this part of the world.
But they just sit and want to analyze.
It's funny because you go across the street, and there are 33,000 people wearing green that go crazy. They're not really that quiet all that much of the time, but yet at the Orange Top,
different game.
And I realize that, different but it's game. Just that the Regina foot, the Saskatchewan football fan is not like the Regina hockey fan.
Different game, though.
That's a really good point, Mitch. They're the same person, though.
Yeah.
That's the odd thing.
That's the odd thing.
The exact same DNA.
Yeah.
But just when they switch venues, they get loud versus they don't. That's a really good point. But they had the decibel meter out the other night. It was up to 107. I believe at the Grey Cup here, it was 109.
I thought it was higher than that.
But maybe it was, but 107 is still pretty loud.
Yeah.
But you know what? Swift Current people are trash talking already. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm all for the trash talk.
Get it out.
Mike, Twisted Mike writes in. He says, the Pats can't try to be more pretty with the puck. Just shoot the thing. Not to try to get the perfect pass and shot, just wire it and take the body, rub a few Broncos out. People are saying they need to start running the Broncos goalies, Sharky. What do you think about that tactic?
And you know, I thought a lot about the conversation yesterday and listened to it, and I was at the game, of course, on Monday night, and I have some thoughts on what happened. You don't need to run the goalie, but you need him. You need to make him uncomfortable, right? You don't need to hit him, but you have to be. You have to bump into him. You have to be in his face. You can't let him get comfortable and get set. And everybody's going, they got to shoot more. I'll bet you they fired 80 to 85 shots. 40 got through, and 40 to 45
missed the net or got blocked.
Got blocked. And they, I counted at one time, 12 blocks in a row. So don't say the Pats weren't shooting enough. They were getting blocked. Swift Current did an unbelievable job playing defense. But having said that, if the Pats can get opportunities off the rush so they can take away, get Swift Current getting set up in their own zone, the Pats are going to have more scoring opportunities. They can't let Swift Current set up and play.
Agreed. And I know that one stat they don't keep in the Western Hockey League, and if they do, you don't see it on the game sheet that comes out, is blocked shots. But I can't even imagine what that number would have been for game three, because I didn't realize 12 in a row. But yeah, they had they had 40.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you had shot attempts. I'm guessing it would have been around 70.
No, I figured it was double. It was 80 to 85 shots that were attempted.
Pats will have that stat, I'm sure.
Somewhere they would.
I wish they would make all of these numbers available like the NHL does, but they don't. And that's a Dub thing, not a Pats thing. Brent writes us on the Mad Jack Flavored Malt Twitter feed. He says, I'm going out on a limb and saying the Warriors got their mojo back. Look out. We should spend a minute on that situation.
Well, I don't disagree.
You know what? I'd still be scared if I was Moose Jaw, because PA was coming in as the one that you didn't have to worry about. You got the eighth seed. Everything's perfect. They've lost two in overtime and beat them once. I think PA still has the recipe to take Moose Jaw to seven, and once you're in a seventh game, anything can happen. So I do not think by any stretch of the imagination that Moose Jaw's got any mojo that they're running PA out of the series.
I would think that tonight, the first 10 minutes of that game is very important tonight, because the Raiders, they got a gut punch to them.
They got a junk punch, a donkey punch.
Yeah, a sucker punch. Exactly. And I think tonight, like, if Moose Jaw comes out with that momentum that they had and they get out to an early lead, I think that could be an ugly one in PA tonight. If the Raiders can get back to the way they were playing in the first three games and 58 minutes, then we still have a series. But if Moose Jaw comes out tonight and blows the doors off the Raiders in the first 10 minutes, that series is over.
You know what it reminds me of? You know, Rich Sutter said it earlier. PA could be up 3-0 in the series because they're down 2-1 and they've lost two in overtime. Reminds me of 1997 playoffs. Not to date myself here, but you guys are all of the same generation. Pats swept the Warriors in the opening round. It was the series that Josh Holden had his hand skated over.
Yep.
If you remember, three games went to overtime. At least one went to double overtime. And I remember listening. Al Tour, I think, was gone by that point. If he wasn't, like, Lenny Nielsen was doing the interview after. Lenny was either the head coach or the assistant. And we're, as we always did, we're leaving Moose Jaw on the bus listening to the
Bear
postgame show on the bus. I don't know if they still do that anymore. But Lenny says, after we ended up sweeping him, we could have won that series. We could have swept that series 4-0. And, of course, we're on the bus, break out laughing. But you didn't!
But he could have.
But you didn't. Don't tell me the Raiders
are saying
we could have been up 3-0.
No.
Because I could have been a lot of things, Sharky.
Well, you know
and
what?
And wasn't.
You just haven't tried yet. It could work out for you.
You
yet.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If they can't hang their hat on, we could have been. But knowing Mark Habscheid and Curtis Hunt, I don't think they'd be saying that.
No,
I'd be shocked if they were.
I think they'd be preaching how they got to that point, right? And reemphasizing how they had the two-goal lead with the short time left and focusing on that narrative instead of worrying about what happened. They know what happened when they got the two scored on them. They're worried about more what didn't happen.
And we obviously didn't see the game last night. At least I'm assuming none of you saw it last night, but did the Raiders, after the 4-2 goal, take their foot off the pedal thinking it was over, and then they gave Moose Jaw that little bit of life with the Brickle? I don't know. I didn't see it. But if they did, they learned a very valuable lesson last night that could be beneficial moving forward in this series and next season when they're expected to be a very good team in the Eastern Division.
You know, and you make a good point there. There's a little bit of youth in PA that might have got really excited because of the two-goal lead, and it vanished on them. But again, I expect PA to come out just as hard as they did last night, and I honestly think we're coming back here tied 2-2 in that PA Moose Jaw series.
That wouldn't shock me.
No.
But I just think the Warriors have been woken up. I'm kind of with this guy that they've got their mojo back. He's probably right.
Like I said, when Tyler Brown won that game for the Pats last year by keeping them in it, and then the Pats won.
In Swift.
In Swift. That was what they needed to get them going forward.
Yeah.
That may have been the moment for Moose Jaw, what Regina went through last year in Swift Current. That may have been Moose Jaw's moment. Now we'll see how they react.
You can put a marker on the wall, but I'm going to say Scruffy might be right.
It's weird. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Twilight Zone time.
Wow, I'm even shocked at that.
Did they...
Are we going to turn the lights
on? Some funny air going on through here. Open the door! Yeah. Regarding the fans saying the Pats need to start running the Broncos goalie tonight. We've got some comments on that. From Bob, he says, previous texter is correct. You don't need to run the goalie, but get in his kitchen. That Swift Current fan has never played the game. Steele is playing against their best checkers and under a microscope of their best defenders. It's a tough assignment. Signed, Bob in Swift Current, where every day is a Sunday.
You know, and Bob's right. They
every day is a Sunday?
No.
In Swift Current?
It could be. That part I don't know.
Can I just hang on? Yeah. Alan in Fishing Lake, Saskatchewan, writes in. He says, hey, guys, you don't have to run the goalie, but you can make it hell for him in front just to get him off his game.
There's no doubt about that. Like I said, you got to make it uncomfortable for him, and you can't let – the other thing I would say to that is the first couple shots, like if you know that you don't have a chance to score, ring him by his ear. Don't put it into the pillows. Don't go for the far post. Put it right by the coconut, right? You want to stand in there and play like you're all cool and mean? Ring one off the mask and straighten him out that way.
And would
right?
it be a dirty play, you know, if the puck got sent in and Skinner went to glove it and you gave him a shower?
Can you imagine? No, that's nothing.
Don't do the shower. Shower doesn't do anything.
I always enjoyed that.
That doesn't bother the goaltender
no,
anymore?
No.
I enjoyed the refreshment.
They seem to get a thrill out of it. Don't
all
do
right.
that.
I know.
Yeah.
Because there are some that would bother, like a guy like an Eddie Belfour back in the day.
Somebody that's unstable.
Yeah.
Yes.
But Patrick Waugh.
Yep. You're going to have more success by going to the net, and as you go to the net and they try to push you out of the way, you fall over top of the goaltender, right? You make his life You make his life long. You make every get up from every save longer. And when you don't have a shot, you don't put it in a place where it's going to be easy for him to just knock it away. You, like say, bring it by his ear.
Gee, I hope Jesse Gabriel's listening as he drives in.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if he did something. Couple of topics today in the Sports Cage, the WHL playoffs, and of course we're live from the Brand Center where the Pats host the Broncos tonight. And Connor McDavid, should he be the MVP of the National Hockey League? Voted as such. I want to get into that next. So the votes will now be made public. Whom you voted for will be, that does not shock me. That doesn't sadden me. People have known who I've voted for in the CFL for years because I tell people. But I think it's good.
John Cornish.
Exhibit A.
Might have to revisit that story.
Why? Oh, yeah. No. Not the thinking behind
no.
it.
No.
It is a Mako Hockey Wednesday live from the Brand Center on 620 CKRM. Hey, RMP SportsCade Sports Ticker live from the Brand Center. The Toronto Maple Leafs face the visiting Florida Panthers as part of tonight's NHL slate. The Maple Leafs are virtually assured of a playoff spot and can make it official tonight with a win and a Philadelphia Flyers regulation loss at Colorado. The NFL's Cleveland Browns have traded former starting quarterback Cody Kessler to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Cleveland will get back a conditional seventh-round pick in 2019 for Kessler, who started 8 games as a rookie in 2016 but has been sliding down Cleveland's depth chart. And former NFL quarterback Tim Tebow has been promoted to Double-A after going 1-for-18 with 11 strikeouts in big league spring training for the New York Mets. The Mets said today that the outfielder has been assigned to start the season at Binghamton of the Eastern League. The story said promoted. I think they meant demoted to Double-A. I'm like, how do you get promoted after going 1-for-18? Anyways.
Well, it's Tim Tebow.
True.
Maybe they planned on starting him in A-ball.
God is on his side.
Is he ever.
That is the RMP SportsCade Sports Ticker. You're guaranteed to win one of 5 amazing prize packages when you get the right price at Regina Motor Products. So we're live from the Brand Center where Game 4 of the Pats-Broncos series will be played out tonight. I didn't book any guests, Sharky, for your portion.
Thank you.
Because I think we can talk hockey for the balance of it. I think that's what the province wants.
I do want to address that guy going down the Cleveland Browns depth chart
and
then getting traded.
Yes.
There's nowhere lower to go than the bottom of the Cleveland Browns depth chart.
Is he going? He's probably celebrating today. I'm the backup in Jacksonville?
Yeah. Yes! He could be the fourth stringer in Jacksonville and still better than being on the Cleveland Browns.
Do you want to go in your rent, your parking rent?
Oh.
Hang on, next hour.
Okay.
I give him something to tease people for. But earlier on, actually for the last 2 days, some of the Pats fans have been suggesting that the Pats resort to running the Broncos goalie. And he has been the story of the series, there's no doubt. Jim from the 315 writes in and he says, I can't stand it when players run goalies. The player that does something like that should be suspended. I think it's a sign that the other team is better and that's the only way to beat them. Newsflash, Jim, that's exactly why they do it. Right, Sharky? And it works.
It works. And like I said, they don't have to necessarily run him, but they got to make life uncomfortable for him. It's got to be hard for him to do his job. We can't let him settle into a routine back there. Right? What you want is Skinner at every face-off and every whistle going to ask the referee why there wasn't another call. You want him busy.
Let's put it this way. Any series that I've been a part of where our goalie was getting run?
Yep.
We lost the series.
Without a doubt, you
would. I'm not advocating that the Pats do it. It's just an idea. Why did that lady just stop and talk to you in the middle of the show?
Sure.
I had to turn your mic off because
I'm not really sure.
I think she's interested in you.
I don't think she was. I think she wanted to know who the guy was in the tie.
She's a staffer here, right?
Yes.
Good for you, Scrap.
I think she said, who's the guy?
She came up to you.
Yeah. Because you were talking.
What is it with... Why, when we're on location, people just want to stop and
or stare at us like we're animals in a cage?
I'm used to that.
I'm
totally used to that. But I don't mind that.
Even from the Briar, it was like people.
Yeah, but don't come up and start talking.
I know.
We're on the radio.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Let me put all the people on the radio on hold while I take your question.
Yep.
I got
bathrooms are over there.
So many things running through my head right
now. Open at 6.
But when Mitch brought up Sharky, your parking rant. About this parking lot, maybe now is the best time to do it. Do you want to go with that?
We can go with that, or we can go with what I think the Pats have to do differently.
I'm going to do that next hour.
Okay. I like to talk about what the Pats have to do differently tonight.
Yeah,
right?
Next hour. I want to talk about the parking rant now.
Okay. Why, in the name of whatever is sacred in this world, are there only two entrances and exits to this giant parking lot? Why? And why are there not attendants out there that can solve that problem? There was an attendant out there last night, let one line go, or on Monday night, for about 20 minutes. He's waved people on for 20 minutes. Had everybody else held up for 20 minutes. Like, he only had one motion.
You're exaggerating.
It was 15. But regardless, why is there only two entrances and exits? I've always said...
You got a better idea?
Well,
where are they going to go?
This building shouldn't be here. I've always said that. The buildings should always be in a downtown
You're
location.
Not strengthening your argument, Sharky.
I am.
I like your idea as why they don't do what they do for
transit.
The riders and have
transit. Rider transit.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't have transit. Yeah,
that would cure a lot of the traffic woes that are here. Because I know where you're at, Sharky. And like I've said, people
should have to leave early so you can actually get out of here.
You leave early to games. It's like, yeah, I do most times. The other night, you saw, because I was sitting right beside you at the end of the second period, I go down, and when Swift Current made it 3-0 about, 8 minutes in?
Yeah.
I was out the door, and I'd have been out the door
and
at the midway point.
You don't regret it?
No, I don't, because I can, A, listen to Phil on the way home. I managed to catch the last few minutes of the game with you, because you did it on Access. But it's like, sorry, like, I do not want to sit there for a half an hour after the game and watch people who have no idea what they're doing when it comes to getting out of here.
Or how to merge.
Yeah, they don't know how to merge. It's like, I'm getting out of here by hell or high water, and they don't allow other people to get in. It's just like, it's ridiculous.
So are we blaming Brent or Everez, or are we blaming the dumb drivers in this town? I don't get what we're...
It's a combination of everything.
Yep. It's a combination of everything. And it wouldn't happen if it was in a different setup where there was multiple entrances and exits, right?
I'm just saying, if you were the CEO of Everez...
Yes.
And you should be.
Well...
You open up any extra exits as it stands now?
I don't know. I'm not an engineer by trade.
So you want to just complain about the problem,
no,
not find a solution?
I'm pointing out that there's a problem.
And we all know that.
I'd love to sit on a committee that's going to come up with a solution, right? But in the future, I'll be parking over by the old Mosaic and walking over, regardless of cold or otherwise, so you can at least get to your vehicle and move somewhere. It's not as bad as Sass Place, don't get me wrong.
No.
Right? That is terrible.
Yeah.
That is the worst setup in the world. But there are things they could do. Transit's one of them. They could do some things with some traffic directors, right? Whether at the lights or each direction. And we do have to work around the stupid train that seems to show up.
What do you think it would take to get the city to do rider transit for Pats games? Maybe for the Memorial Cup, they should really look at it.
Yes, they should.
Probably a phone call and a conversation to go, hey, what about?
I'm thinking protesters at City Hall.
They had a Briar transit.
Seems to work.
Yeah.
They had a Briar transit?
Yeah, you could get from hotels in the East End, the South End, and downtown to come in.
Yeah.
Buses.
So, yeah, so why can't they do that for Pats playoff games? And I know you could sit there and say for regular season games as well, but if you only get a crowd of 3,500, 4,000, and I realize that wasn't the case here this year, is it worth the time and the energy? But for playoff games, when this place is generally full, I think you should do it.
I think people would take advantage of it.
I think they would too.
They're used to it with the rider transit, and a lot of people love it with the rider transit.
Yep.
And it would help a lot for the Pats transit. If you knew the bus left at 6:30 from your mall location, that would be just as easy for you to get to as trying to get in and out of here with its one and two exits, right? Exit A and exit B.
We've got lots to get to in hour two. I like what Sharkey's saying about what the Pats have to do tonight to tie this series up. We'll get to that. Connor McDavid for the Heart. I say yes. These two say no. Our buddy Dave right here, our spotter, says no. What do the listeners say? Let us know, Prairie Mobile text line or our Mad Jack Flavored Malt Twitter feed. Write me at Rod Peterson. We're brought to you by Mako on 620 CKRM. The Sports Cage coming at you live from the Brandt Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. It's a Mako Hockey Wednesday. When you've had an uh-oh and want a perfect again, better get Mako. Scruffy and Sharky are with me. We are situated in what they used to call the Link, Sharky.
I think it still is the Link.
I think it'll still be the Link.
All right. That's where we are, just outside the West Concourse at the Brandt Center. Game 4, Pats and Swift Current Broncos coming up here tonight at 7. We will have the broadcast of it. I've just had dropped off on the table here the rosters for tonight's game.
Dun, 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 dun.
Both teams are here very early tonight.
Yep.
For these scratches to be done already, Jesse Gabriel will not play for the Regina Pats. And granted, he's only played one game in this series. Some would say only two periods in this series, because of injury.
Yep.
He didn't play the third the other night, but he will not play, Sharky. That is big because he's a 20-year-old villain,
He plays an important role.
He plays an important role.
He's one of their top six forwards. They need him to be at his best, and with him not there, it changes their lineup a bit.
So Coach Sharkey's going to tell us in a minute. He's going to pull out the chalkboard here.
Get the whiteboard ready.
And tell us what the Pats need to do with the big board. But first, Sharkey went on a fairly epic rant near the end of hour one of the program about the traffic snarl here that is after every Pats game. And believe me, it's not comfortable trying to get out of here. You didn't really have a solution. You just pointed out there's a problem. Thanks for that, Sharkey. Rose from Regina has written in regarding that and says, regarding the shuttles for the Brandt Center, because we said there should be rider transit for the Pats games. Especially when they're sold out. Rose says, apparently, the venue needs to request a shuttle arrangement from Regina Transit. We went through parking headaches with Skate Canada in the fall. Remember they sold out those?
Yeah.
She says, good luck with that, because it makes sense, especially with the number of visitors who will be in Regina for the Memorial Cup. So this is an official application from the Sports Cage to have Rider Transit for Pats games, and maybe that'll eliminate a little bit of the headaches that we have here after games. Now, moving forward, one more from Twisted Mike.
Uh-oh.
Sharky, why don't you go out and do parking and see how easy it is? You guys in the suits have all the solutions. It always looks good on paper till you're the one that's actually doing the job. So stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
So,
yeah.
Say that.
At least you got a job.
Yep. Even something as simple as understanding that two lanes can go out and you can both turn left or the one can go right. Like, just, you don't have to be in the left-hand lane to exit. You, there can be two left turns and one right turn, right, for each. It's simple. It's simple things to do and understanding how traffic moves. It's big city traffic, if you will.
Yeah.
It's not small town.
Why is it any different than a Rider game?
The same thing in a Rider game.
Is it? I don't know, because when I leave, the parking lot's
empty. Well, that's the thing, though, is that you can't park unless you have a pass in the lot.
Right, for a Rider game.
Yeah. That's right. Now, they're not going to do that for Pats games. There'd be absolute anarchy if they tried that.
So for the Rider, and the other thing about a Rider game is because they're in the less cool time of the year, it's okay to park 20 blocks away and go for a walk.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, regarding the rosters for tonight, an anonymous texter from the 315 says, "Hey guys, is Artem Manulin scratched tonight for Swift Current? That's a big loss for the Broncos." Yes, Artem Manulin, European defenseman's not playing, but he didn't play in Game 3. And they were just fine.
Yeah.
So the Pats are down 2-1 in this series. It's not do or die time, but it's getting close.
They got to create some offense.
Sharky, yeah, what do they got to do tonight to make sure that doesn't happen?
You know, if you look at what Swift Current, first off, you look at the first 10 minutes of the game, the Pats were all over them, right? The pressure on Swift Current was huge. They got in penalty trouble. They had two goals scored on them in the first period, one just after the power play and one on the power play. That obviously, getting out in front is going to be huge, or not letting Swift Current get out in front so early so that they can dictate the pace of play. Swift Current did a great job, and it was not something that the Pats didn't do, is what Swift Current did so well. Their forecheck, in which they made three guys at the top of the zone and took the Pats and let them come into their zone, set up, but not let them into the slot. The Pats never got great scoring opportunities from in front of the net. They got a lot of shots from the outside or from down low, but they didn't get great scoring opportunities. So they have to create opportunities off the rush is one. Give themselves some 3-on-2s and 2-on-1s.
Sounds easy.
It does, but, right?
If the Broncos allow it.
You got to use your speed to make sure that that happens. And secondly, once getting the puck in their zone, Swift Current was setting up to block. So we've got to beat one guy. We got a 2-on-1 or beat one guy on the play so we can get that puck to the slot area and give yourselves a chance to get a better opportunity. And what we talked about earlier with Skinner, make him uncomfortable in the net. He can't get set up in there and feel that he's in control of the game. He's got to be looking around to find out where all five are to make sure he's not going to get bumped.
It was suggested yesterday the Pats are guilty of making too many passes. When you have the defensemen playing the way they are, are you guilty of that or not? Because you have to find that shooting lane, and you're not getting it right now.
They're trying to find a lane, but at the same time, they were passing and staying in a position. So if I was the Pats, I would say pass and move to it. Get yourself into another spot so that the defenseman can't just stay where he is and keep your lane blocked. You watch, and the Pats went to a triangle or to the three up top on the umbrella. They would make the play, but they would often stay in position and not change the lane or jump into a hole to try to create a give-and-go situation. If they give themselves some opportunities where they do those give-and-goes, force that defenseman to move a little more and not let them hold up the lane
move.
So well. Yeah,
move.
No, exactly. They got to move.
Static.
They got to skate in the offensive
zone. But watch Swift Current and what they're doing.
Yep.
They're moving a lot, and it's tough to defend. Anyways, so that's what's happening here with Game 4 tonight. Broncos up 2-1. Up in PA, the Warriors take a 2-1 series lead into Game 4 tonight. They won in overtime last night. Moose Jaw did over the Raiders. And if anybody thinks that series is over because of that, they're mistaken.
Yeah, they're really wrong.
These are long series. It takes 4 games to win a series. And both the Warriors and Broncos are only halfway there. The other topic, and I don't mind getting into the NHL at this point of the show, a Mako Hockey Wednesday. I'm all in on hockey today. Should Connor McDavid be named the Hart Trophy winner in the National Hockey League this year? I say yes. Sharky and Scruffy say no. Casey in Regina writes in, Prairie Mobile text line, he says, the NHL would be absolutely stupid to not award McDavid as MVP. Shouldn't even be a debate. How does a guy score 2.5 points per game not get considered? Just because the team gives up 7 goals after Connor gets 3 points doesn't mean it's Connor's fault. This irritates me.
2.5 points a game and they're playing 82. Funny, I don't think Connor's going to get 170-some points this year.
He's not quite there yet.
Yeah, thanks for the numbers, though, Casey.
And again, I go back to this. Connor's in the mix, there's no doubt, but I don't think he should be denied because his team's not in the playoffs. Same could be said for Nathan MacKinnon. If the Avalanche don't make it, I don't think he should be denied.
Is Connor the best player in the NHL?
Yes.
Yes. Is he the most valuable player in the NHL this year? No.
I would argue that he could be, but I also would argue that Nathan MacKinnon could be the most valuable player in the NHL. You could even go to the point of seeing Barzal and the Islanders could, right?
For well, what that's going to be another good argument as far as Rookie of the Year. Do you go with Kyle Connor or do you go with Barzal? Now, Brock Besser might have won it had he not got hurt.
It's Barzal.
It's got to be Barzal.
It's Barzal. He's having a great year. He's lighting the league up. He's done some amazing things on the island, and especially with, you know, them not making the playoffs and Johnny Tavares not in a happy place, if we could say, providing him a ton of support. I think Barzal's definitely the Rookie of the Year.
Anonymous texter asking if Max Paddock is in goal for the Pats tonight. Not only is he not in goal for the Pats, he's not even dressed. What a horrific time of the year for the Pats to lose
for that injury.
Their best goalie.
Yeah.
Tim in Churchbridge writes in and says, hey, Scruffy, should Skinner start for the Oilers next year? That's the goalie for Swift Current, everybody, who's been the star
of
this series.
No, he'll probably go down to Bakersfield, I would think.
That's a big leap.
That's a big leap.
That's
is
a big jump.
Yeah, he's not Carter Hart material.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not Carter Hart material. They've got, what, Brassard's their goalie down in Bakersfield. They've got Montoya as their backup right now.
Brassard played last night.
Yes, but I think that's because Montoya's hurt. They've got another goalie, too, that's in the Canadian Hockey League. I think in Peterborough, I think, that's in the Oilers system. But, yeah, I don't think Stuart Skinner is going to make that leap this year. He's probably going to, if he continues to progress, have a chance after a couple of years in Bakersfield. But there's no way that he's patrolling the pipes in Edmonton next year on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Does it matter how this playoff plays out, do you think?
No. No, I don't think so. Carter Hart's the elite goaltender in the Western Hockey League, and Carter Hart has a chance to probably play maybe for Philadelphia next year, but I would think he's probably destined to go to the Phantoms for at least 1 year. You don't see many goaltenders come out of junior
and make the jump.
No. Like, I think Dan Blackburn might have been the last one from Kootenay, and how long ago was that?
Holy crap.
At least a decade.
Yeah, you're going back a long ways.
Actually, probably 15 years. He took Cranbrook to the Memorial Cup in 01 in Halifax. Yeah. So you're 17 years ago.
Holy smokes.
I can't think of another. Now,
you know
what? Was Rick DiPietro in the NCAA when he was taken number one by the Islanders?
Yes.
Okay.
Where he was playing, I don't know, but DiPietro was.
Yeah.
So that's still one of the worst draft picks in
signings. Well, yeah, but I'm just
saying
that it can be done, but I don't think Stuart Skinner is going to go from the Swift Current Broncos to the Edmonton Oilers next year.
Who knows?
I would expect,
you never know.
I would expect to say Hart is going to spend some time in the American League, but could be up before the year's
end. Oh, I would agree with that completely.
Yep. Yep.
So that from Tim in Churchbridge. So people are digging the Mako Hockey Wednesday today. By the way, we do have to take a break here, but I can say this. I'm going to be cheering for the Jets in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I'm not even going to have to bite my lip to do so.
Did you see their game last night?
I saw the highlights. I didn't see
that
the
game against Boston.
I was
last
watching
night.
The other game. I can't watch every game.
That game against Boston was fantastic last night. And I know people hate Brad Marchand. Brad Marchand can play on my team any day of the week.
Oh, for God's sake!
Oh, he was great.
I would send somebody out to jump him every game. I would cross-check him in the face first chance I got and say,
"I respect
stay down.
Him."
I don't respect him at all.
I do because he's had a tremendous career.
Yep.
He's a tiny little guy.
Yep.
He has won a Stanley Cup, and you would take him on your team, Sharky, if you had the opportunity.
Yeah, but the way he plays, he's too costly. He's too costly to your team.
Well, he's on the ice, though. He's not like Jesse Gabriel taking 10-minute misconducts or getting kicked out of games. There's a big difference.
You're right there.
We have to take a timeout. You can write us on the Mad Jack Flavored Malt Twitter feed, at Rod Peterson here at the Brand Center. Mad Jack Flavored Malt with three new flavors in 2018. Lemon, iced tea, and tropical punch. Mad Jack, crazy good. Please drink responsibly. We'll be right back to the Brand Center after this timeout on 620 CKRM.
I take it in, but don't look down.
I'm on top of the world.
Sports Cage continues live from the Brand Center. Game 4, Pats and Broncos coming up here tonight at 7 on 620 CKRM. Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. The Toronto Maple Leafs can lock up a playoff spot when they host the Florida Panthers in NHL play tonight. According to the league website, the Leafs can finish no worse than in the second wild card spot if they win tonight. And Philadelphia loses in regulation at Colorado. A regulation win would also give Toronto a near insurmountable 14-point lead over Florida for third in the Atlantic Division. The Cincinnati Reds have pushed back their season opener against the Washington Nationals by a day because rain is forecast tomorrow. They'll open on Friday afternoon instead, taking advantage of what was a scheduled day off for both teams. It's the first time since 1966 that Cincinnati has rescheduled its season opener because of the weather. And that's the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. Head to Boston Pizza for rib rages all month long. A full rack of slow-roasted ribs and two delicious sides, only $17.95. Boston Pizza, gather round. We did have a debate in the break here with Scruffy and Sharky with me. What happened in Montreal last night was amazing. I'm talking about the Expos. Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s solo home run, bottom of the ninth, two out. Gave the Blue Jays a 1-0 preseason win over the Cardinals to cap spring training. And they head to Toronto for the season opener tomorrow against the Yankees without Vladdy Guerrero. Sharky, Mitch says that the Blue Jays and their fans celebrated too much. I think it was fantastic.
I think it was fantastic. It was the best thing we saw in preseason. They were like, it was great that it was in Montreal that he hit.
Perfect.
It was if he'd done that in Dunedin, it wouldn't have mattered, right? If he'd done that in Florida, it wouldn't have been the same thing. The fact that he did it in Montreal, where his dad played, and obviously where he grew up part of his life, I think that was phenomenal. And it was fun to watch, and I'm sure regardless of how his baseball career winds up, that's going to be one of the highlights of it, without a doubt.
Well, memorable, yeah.
Yes.
Let's hope.
Yes.
That's just scratching the surface, my word. But how painful is it that he's not going to be with the Blue Jays this year? But he just looks like a ball player, doesn't he?
Oh, he looks like his dad.
Yeah.
Like that swing, that's his dad.
They're identical.
Yeah, they're absolutely identical. But, yeah, like, it's a preseason game. Like, is that your highlight of the year? It might be for the Blue Jays.
It might be.
But the season hasn't even started yet. That was their highlight of the year.
It's a good feel-good story about spring training and this kid's career in baseball.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with Steve Simmons on a lot of things, but I still read all his stuff because he's just entertaining, from the Toronto Sun. And years ago he said, in pro sports or sports in general, if you're not selling wins, you'd better be selling hope. Can the Blue Jays, for 162 games, sell the hope of Vladdy Guerrero Jr. being the savior of the franchise?
That's not now.
Well, there's other guys too.
Too early.
Bo Bichette's in that equation as well.
But he's not the name.
No, he's not the name. He's the son of Dante Bichette, who played for the Rockies and the Angels, I think. But, yeah, he doesn't have the same cachet that Guerrero has. But fans want those two up. And as I was saying in the newsroom today to Ryan McNally, Guerrero will be up with the Jays at some point this year, but they don't want him to come up and all of a sudden have a disastrous start to the season. They did that with, who's the Canadian?
You're saying they don't want to rush him.
Yeah, they don't want to rush him. Who was the center fielder they had from Canada? And they sent him down after about a month, years ago. And he hasn't been back. He hasn't had a shot since because he was out of place. And they don't want to take that chance with Guerrero. He's going to start in Double A. I expect to see him up in Toronto in September when they have call-ups and probably playing with the Jays in 19.
But is it good enough for the Blue Jays and for their fans to say, yeah, we may suck this year because we all think they will, but look what we got coming?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. There's no doubt. But I do feel that the Jays can't hang their hat on that we're going to be better in the future. Hang on, suck with us now. We'll be better in the future. I think they got to show more than just two players.
A lot of teams do that.
They do, because that's all they've got.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, is that where the Blue Jays are?
Hey, again, the Cleveland Indians, the Houston Astros, the Chicago Cubs, the Seattle Mariners, there are many teams that have decided to have their youth be what's going to carry them, and we've seen success with the Cubs, we've seen success with the Astros, with the Indians. The Blue Jays are taking that same approach, and let's remember, the Houston Astros lost 100 games a couple of years ago, and now they're World Series champions. Now, is that going to happen in Toronto? I don't know, but they've got a lot of young guys that you can be enthused about if you're a Blue Jays fan. But right now, you're just going to have to suck it up and swallow because it's not going to happen this year.
Again, I don't know how bad they're going to be, right? A lot of it comes down to timely pitching and timely hitting. But right now, if you watch them come out of spring training, there doesn't seem to hold a whole bunch of bright lights that you can hang your hat on. No.
To the Prairie Mobile text line, Hal in La Flesh writes in, And he says, hey, Roddy, the town of La Flèche has made the finals for the Kraft Hockeyville prize of $250,000 for upgrades to our rink. Would really appreciate you and your listeners' support with a vote for our town this weekend. Saskatchewan has never won this, and we would love to bring this prize home to our little town. Just go to the Kraft Hockeyville site and vote for La Flèche this Friday and Saturday. Thanks so much. That's from Hal. How is it, Mitch, that we have never, as a province, won this thing? I can't figure it out.
It's voting. It's online voting, right? That's how it's
done. We don't have the population.
We don't have enough people to vote. We got to get more people out voting.
Ituna lost last year to a place in Prince Edward Island. How did we lose to a place in
Prince
Edward Island?
Do we know how much we lost by?
No, we don't.
There's like 200 people in Ituna. Even if they called all their friends and family, they still wouldn't
get enough
votes.
Ituna was doing just as good a job as what La Flèche is with the social media and everything.
Yep.
As did O'Leary, Prince Edward Island, and they got beat last year. So I don't know what's going on. But I'm hoping. I don't know why it is. I can't explain it, but I know that the people in La Flèche, they've done a great job so far. I know the Pats have a billboard here tonight telling people to vote for La Flèche. I know they've asked the Warriors, Broncos, and Raiders to do it, and I hope they are. Like, at some point, this has got to happen. And I don't know where, but I also know that High River, Alberta's in the Final Four, and that might be tough.
Well, is it the facility already unable to host an NHL preseason game?
Well, they get the right to host. No, I know last year O'Leary did not have the size of the rink, so they had it, I think, in Summerside, I think, but they get the proceeds from the game.
Okay, so Ituna, as an example, would have held it in Melville, perhaps.
That was my understanding, was perhaps they were going to do it in Melville or Yorkton. I don't know where the final say was, and I believe that game was supposed to be the Oilers and the Jets in a preseason game. I don't know what the game would be for La Flèche. I don't know if La Flèche has any say in it or if it's the NHL just sort of saying, hey, we're going to bring these two teams to
and we can't put it in this ring.
Right. Yeah. So now I don't know. Like, La Flèche is not that far away from Moose Jaw, so do you put it at Mosaic Place? Because if you did, it would be a great experience, especially
you know
if you brought all the kids from La Flèche up.
Let's
you
just get behind it. Get them to win.
Yes,
that's right.
And then
we'll
talk about
sort this all out later.
Yep, I would say vote for them and vote as many times as you can.
We need to take a timeout. We're broadcasting live with the Sports Cage of Mako Hockey Wednesday from the Brand Center. We have Game 4 coming up tonight, the Pats and the Broncos on 620 CKRM. It's the Sports Cage. It's a Mako Hockey Wednesday. Rod Scruffy and Sharky set up in the link here just outside the West End Concourse at the Brand Center getting ready for Game 4 of the Pats and the Broncos tonight. I can smell the mini donuts in the hopper. You know it's getting close to game time when the mini donuts are fired up. Thanks a lot, Stan.
Has the pizza boy come by yet?
No.
They had to hold the door open for him. Oh, wait, that was Mark Rothwell.
That's good. Stop! On the Mad Jack Flavored Malt Twitter feed, La Flèche Hockeyville 2018 has written us, guys, on Twitter and says, thanks for the great chat about hashtag Kraft Hockeyville and for all your support. So let's get them to win this thing.
That'd be so cool.
It would be. The Southern Saskatchewan would descend on La Flèche or wherever they're going to have this game. It would be probably the biggest night in the town's history.
I can't even imagine. It would be unbelievable.
Yeah, and especially if 97 was coming to town.
Whew. Connor, the NHL MVP?
Yep.
Well, they could play Colorado and bring Nathan MacKinnon here.
Right, okay. Or Eddie Steele, number 97. Prairie
Always
going
to take it back to football.
Yeah, taking it back to football. I got my phones are going nuts. You see this, right?
By the way, with football?
You're double fisting.
Yes.
James Quick Parker.
Passed away for two.
That was a kick in the... Was there a better defensive lineman than James Quick Parker that you've seen?
He still holds several CFL records.
26 and a half sacks.
In one year.
Yeah.
That's a big one. The game's going to be great tonight. Mitch is going to be leaving after the second period.
Sharky's going to be right behind me.
I'm going to be complaining at the end of the third that I'm stuck.
I'm jealous that I won't be able to because of the parking issues here at the Brand Center.
What's it like when you left the other night?
Same. You really want to know?
Yeah, I do.
This is funny. When I left, the parking lot was still jammed. It looked like a gigantic game of Tetris. And The Swift Current Broncos bus was all loaded up and ready to go, and somebody inside that bus was beating on the window at me, and I didn't even look up because I was mad the Pats lost. I guess it was Heward. But anyways,
You knew it was him anyway.
I'm pretty sure it was Heward. But I go to my car, and Claire Hanna from CTV is in her vehicle right beside mine.
Yep.
She's like, Rod, would you mind going out and playing air traffic controller and allowing me to back out here and stopping traffic so I can get out? And I'm like, sure. So I went out there.
Chivalry's dead, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
Mr. Congeniality.
And I actually put my hand up and held the Broncos bus because they were ready to go. Claire backed out. Todd Lombard walked by at the middle, right, who looked like his dog had just been killed in a tragic accident. He's upset. Everybody's upset.
Claire's not upset.
Claire was not upset. She actually wrote me later on Twitter and thanked me for doing that. But it wasn't easy 30 minutes after the game to get out of there.
Really?
No. It wasn't. So Riley has written us on Twitter regarding our idea that the city of Regina should use rider transit for the Pats games here, particularly now that the games are sold out and we got the Memorial Cup upcoming. And Riley says, riders/Pats transit would be awesome. A guy could park at the malls and not have to wait 15 minutes to get out of the parking lot. Even the parking by Cooperators is awful.
Remember
which
that used to be the
secret hiding
tell
spot.
You
yeah.
Go there and then you'll be.
Secret spot. Yeah,
when Red Deer was here a couple of years ago, that's what I was doing. I was like, oh, this is great. And then all of a sudden the next year, yeah, not so much anymore.
No.
You remember that Rose that wrote in earlier?
Yep.
Yes.
She has written back and on this topic, and she says, one more point, though, is wouldn't it be something if someone from the transit was proactive and reached out to the right people wondering if they would like to make a shuttle arrangement for the Memorial Cup? Because when things go wrong, it's the city that looks bad. Why?
I don't think it's the city looks bad.
She's saying for out-of-town visitors that come here and you're in this traffic snarl trying to get out. I'm just trying to think of places I've been. This is about as bad as it gets, to be honest. I'm serious. Places that I've been. That's the truth.
Saskatoon?
Well, somebody is.
Saskatoon's worse, yeah.
Somebody has written in here, DDD. I would have, this phone is absolutely jam-packed.
As it always is.
Yeah. Oh, from Glenn. And the 321 says it is far easier to get out of SaskTel Center in Saskatoon than the Brandt Center.
Oh.
All you have to do is sit in your seat for 15 minutes, and you can get out of the parking lot in 10. Sharky's off base. That's from Glenn.
What was Glenn at? A minor hockey game?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Come on, Glenn. That's not true.
You know what? Neither one's great. How about that?
No. You know what? I went to a Leafs game earlier this year, parked right across the street from Air Canada.
What'd you pay?
About 15 bucks?
No, it was 30. I think it was 30 bucks. We were driving. We ended up right there, parked right there, walked like literally not even 100 yards, walked right into the Air Canada Center. I got out of there faster than I got out of the Brandt Center.
Well, nobody wants to pay for parking. I paid $45 at a Seahawks game to park right across the street. I paid $20 at a Lakers game to park in the parking lot right beside this.
Well, it wasn't Hickey's decision. It was Evraz's decision at that time.
Oh, right?
Well, it wasn't Hickey's decision. It was Evraz's decision at that time.
Oh, was it?
I thought it was Hickey's, too.
Oh, Hickey fought that tooth and nail. As a matter of fact, that's the reason they bought the team, is because Pinder sold it because of the parking charge went on. And I think
that's
it was
the only reason they sold the team.
Well, that was one of his stories at the time. And I think it was like a buck to park. Like, it wasn't. It was $1 or $2 to park, and people went absolutely.
It was two.
They went mental. They went completely bananas.
$2 in the '80s was a lot of money.
Yeah. They went off the rails.
Imagine if that was like now, like with the riders. What do you mean we have to over on the old Taylor Field?
I guess
$10 to park. What?
My point on the parking and paying is, I guess if you want to pay a premium, you can get good parking in certain locations.
Well, do you not have to pay if you're going to park on the lot here during Rider games?
Yes. Yeah.
So, there.
That was $300, I think, for the year?
For the year, yeah.
So $30 a game, and people complained about that.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. I'm just saying, when I travel, I don't mind paying the dough because I want to find a parking spot. Not everybody is of that ilk.
That's right.
They're not a high roller like you.
But just on the thing on the Lakers, when you say, where's I meeting Kobe, we went with our girls to watch the Lakers and the Jazz in a playoff game. And, of course, basketball family, we went at least 90 minutes before the game to watch the warm-ups, and Kobe wasn't out there. So one of our girls went over to an usherette at the Staples Center and said, "Where's Kobe Bryant? He's not warming up with the team." And she said, "Mr. Bryant flies in on his helicopter 3 hours before the game and warms up on his own. He doesn't warm up with his teammates."
Shocking.
And then when the game's over, he has a helicopter on the roof of the Staples Center. He just climbs in his helicopter and flies home. So
isn't that nice?
He doesn't give any of his teammates a ride home?
Nope.
What a charitable
they
soul.
They don't have a helicopter pad at their place. They can't get dropped.
Exactly. Yeah. Did you actually think Kobe Bryant was a nice guy, Mitch?
No.
Or even a good guy?
Kobe Bryant's one of the guys in professional sport that I just have never had any time for.
Black Mwamba.
I just think he thinks he's everything in a bag of chips.
Problem is, he is.
And now he's won an Oscar, too.
Wasn't he making $24 million a year at his peak? And that was, like, quite some time ago. Like, 4 or 5 years ago when it was unheard of. And now everybody is.
Yeah,
right?
Now everybody's making that kind of money in the NBA. The big stars are.
How about LeBron James? If I was...
I'd vote for me.
Like, I don't think you're going to hear McDavid or McKinnon or Malkin or Taylor Hall. I don't think you'll ever hear one of those guys say that. Like, really, LeBron?
It's a completely different game. You cannot play it by yourself.
And mentality as well.
Hockey player mentality
compared to the basketball player mentality in the NBA?
Actually, that's what scared me the other night is when the Pats got individualistic and tried to do it themselves. That's when you know you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, Connor Hobbs could actually do it.
He could.
He's one of the few guys that could actually do it by himself. Even Sam Steele can't do it by himself. God bless him for trying.
Yeah, he needs help. He's got to give the puck to somebody and get it back.
We will talk a little bit. RMP, Sports Cage, Sports Ticker, the Toronto Maple Leafs and Florida Panthers are facing off tonight. At Air Canada Center, the Leafs are looking to bounce back from a 3-2 loss to visiting Buffalo on Monday. That result broke Toronto's 13-game winning streak. Tampa Bay pitcher Nathan Eovaldi has loose bodies in his pitching elbow and will undergo arthroscopic surgery. The 28-year-old right-hander was placed on the 10-day disabled list today ahead of the opener against Boston. He's expected to be part of the Rays rotation after recovering from Tommy John surgery. The opening day for the Blue Jays goes tomorrow as they host the New York Yankees, 1:37 first pitch. And the Las Vegas Stadium Authority has signed the final documents necessary to build the future home of the Raiders. Team President Mark Badane and Authority Chairman Steve Hill signed the lease and development agreements in Las Vegas today for the $1.8 billion, 65,000-seat stadium that will also serve as home to the UNLV Runnin' Rebels. The move comes a day after NFL owners voted 31-1 to approve the stadium plan.
What do you think parking is going to be around that place?
Good question. There's a lot of room for parking there, though. That is the RMP Sports Cage Sports Ticker. You're guaranteed to win one of 5 amazing prize packages when you get the right price at Regina Motor Products.
The hotels love shuttles. The casinos love shuttles.
I was going to say, do they have an LRT in Vegas?
No.
They'd have shuttles.
I was going to say, shuttles, obviously.
You can walk everywhere if you're ambitious.
That's true.
Plus, they have Uber. First time I ever rode in one was in Vegas.
Isn't Uber
great?
The greatest thing ever. I love it.
Who gets a new arena first, Regina or Saskatoon?
Well, if Saskatoon wants a 15,000-seat arena, and I don't think Regina wants one that big.
No.
And I think we've had this chat before. I would think
Regina's will be part of a private play. It won't be city funded.
No. I didn't ask the breakdown.
So I asked who gets
an arena first.
No, I think Regina gets one within about the next 10 years. I think Saskatoon, it's going to be a little bit longer, so I'll have to go with Regina.
I'm going to go with Regina, and I'm going to say less than 10.
Yeah. Less than 10?
Yeah, I can see that happening literally in the very near
future. So then what happens to this place?
It's part of Evraz.
It's
not going to get torn down. The city owns this. It's part of Evraz. The new one the city won't own. Right?
They need the ice.
Pardon me?
They need the ice surface.
Well, the ice surface will still exist. I can see all kinds of things, and maybe not as much ice in here as normal, right? I can see other events. And
how many events will you get in here?
I don't know.
If you get a new arena or a new complex.
I don't know what it would. That's a whole different look.
It is.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting question to ask.
It is, without a doubt. Yeah. It's a very interesting question.
Yeah.
Saskatoon's would be totally, I don't think the city would, or the there's private money up there.
I joked with Les Lazarek the other night upstairs. You know, the old arena is where the Toys R Us building is now.
Yeah.
Well, Toys R Us is apparently being sold, so just knock the Toys R Us building down and put the arena up where it should have been many years ago.
Exactly.
Wouldn't it be a beautiful spot to have?
Oh,
be unbelievable. That was such a bad decision. It makes me sick.
Yeah.
It does. It makes me
How do you think they feel if you lived there?
Oh.
I just can't think of what downtown Saskatoon would be like if you had that building.
It's great now,
right,
let alone...
Exactly.
I'm just trying to think even what downtown Regina would be like tonight if this facility was downtown, right? We're doing the show in the radio station. The facility's close to there. I'm not going to suggest it would be across the street or whatever, but it's close to there, all around there. People would be coming downtown for all kinds of things.
I wonder why.
To get close to the... I mean, it would just be phenomenal for our downtown businesses and everybody else, right? And it would just strengthen the tax base of our entire community, which is what people don't realize.
You think it would go in that Impark lot on Rose Street? That's what your location is?
That's if I had to place a vote that we look at first, that'd be my spot.
What about behind the casino?
I'm not as big a fan of that location simply because it cuts off downtown a little bit, right?
Because then you'd have like your entrance points coming from the warehouse district and downtown. You could probably have an entrance.
What about
the casino?
This Marist splashy news conference 2 years ago where he said they were going to be building that walkway from Saskatchewan Drive over to Dewdney? Why has that not been started yet?
Because there's nothing over on the other side of Dewdney.
He's got to start somewhere.
He's got to get the overpass over the ring road trains. We don't have to deal with that.
Oh, is that a joke? Holy
a lot God. Of money to spend.
Yeah, that's just about as big as building a new rink. That is.
I don't know. I don't know what the city spent. Remember that whole downtown revitalization thing with the retractable roof stadium, the affordable housing over here where Taylor Field is. None of it happened.
But it's not happened yet. It's all a process, right? So they've got the old stadium down now. That next is the redevelopment of that area, and then they'll move on to the next one.
By the way, I haven't driven past
that. I would anticipate that's going to happen.
I haven't driven past the old stadium. Is it like now everything cleaned out?
No.
Is it cleared?
No,
there's
nothing
still,
yet.
There's still lots of stuff.
All
there.
Right.
Here's one to stir up your feathers. Sheldon from Moose Jaw writes in again. He says, will Pats fans be cheering for Swift Current in round two or the rival Warriors?
Swift Current.
Maybe they'll be cheering for themselves in round two because they'll still be playing.
Perhaps.
You think about that.
I think Swift Current.
As I say, if you're a fan of one team, you probably don't start cheering for another team.
No.
If you're a fan of the Oilers, you're not looking to the Jets now,
Which is why that somebody there at TSN, will Canada start cheering for Toronto if they're the only team left in the Stanley Cup? No.
I wouldn't cheer for the only team in the playoffs, period. If they had the whole playoffs to themselves, No, not going to cheer
cheer for the Leafs. I would.
That doesn't look good on you.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Even when you said your eyebrows creased.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You sort of pained yourself to say that.
There was a lack of conviction in that statement.
Yeah, very much so.
I wouldn't, get out of bed excited about it in the morning, but I would probably pull for them. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. The Jets I can get behind because they're an exciting team to watch.
Toronto would be so obnoxious if they won the Stanley
Cup. They already are obnoxious.
Well, exactly. So imagine throw a Stanley Cup win on top of that. It'd be unbearable.
I'm just used to it. Oh. Whatever. But listen, you guys can't deny that the Stanley Cup playoffs are a lot more fun when the Leafs are in them.
I don't know. We haven't seen that.
It's been a while, but I'm going back to the Pat Quinn days.
Yeah.
Cujo, Mick Magoo, the whole thing. That was a lot of fun.
There's a lot more press. There's a lot more publicity. There's a lot more goes on when there's a Canadian team, especially the Leafs, in it. Yeah.
Are you guys going to get behind the Jets? We know they're going because they clinched last night.
Yeah, you know what? I really like the way the Jets play. And I've always said I'm a fan of the way teams play. I like what Paul Maurice has done with that club, I like their style of play.
And I told really you, do. Too, they'll be the last Canadian team standing. You
the
say
Jets?
The Leafs, and I say the Jets.
I think they last longer than the Leafs in the playoffs.
I do, too.
I might have to go back on that bet, Mitch. I'll leave it.
Well, let's just put it this way. They're supposedly taking on Minnesota in the first round, and Bruce Boudreau's history of winning in the first round, literally zero. So you've got the Jets in the second round at least.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, Bruce Boudreau's never seen the second round of the playoffs from the ice. He's only seen it on TV.
Which means we'd see Winnipeg-Nashville in the second round. And if that's anything like what the Jets and Predators played
the other night
on Saturday or
that was
Sunday,
a great hockey game. Oh, that'll be an outstanding Western Division quarterfinal.
Two teams that really mirror one another.
Yep.
When you look at it. Yep.
By the way, that was our trivia question on CKRM this morning that I came up with. Bruce Boudreau, second fastest coach to 500 wins in NHL history. Do you know who the first was? Sorry to put you on the spot. He's also the winningest coach of all time in the NHL.
So I'd go Scotty Bowman.
Yeah, Scotty Bowman, yeah.
But, yeah, that I get. Bruce Boudreau.
He coached some good teams
in
Washington.
When you think of guys like, you know.
You don't think of him as one of the greatest coaches in the
NHL. Oh, yeah, when I think of coaches that have won 500 games like Babcock, Quenneville, Scotty Bowman,
Bruce Boudreau,
Al Arbor, Bruce Boudreau's like, one of these things are not like the other.
It doesn't belong.
These things just aren't the same.
When they did that show where they did about the New Year's Day game and they showed the Caps and they followed Boudreau around for the day, he looked like an idiot. He did. Yeah. He looked like a complete joke. He was a mess. It didn't look good on him at all.
That's what he is.
That's why he hasn't been in the second round.
Lots to talk about with Jim Clubber Lang next hour, Canada's foremost expert on the National Football League, and some Leafs and Jays talk too. We're live from the Brand Center. Pats and Broncos coming up at 7 o'clock right here in Game 4. This is a Mako Hockey Wednesday on 620 CKRM. Hour 3 of the Sports Cage is on the air. Good evening, Saskatchewan. Welcome to a Mako Hockey Wednesday. Mitchell Blair sitting in for the final half an hour. Jungle Jim Lang going to join us from Toronto in a moment. Roddy has taken off. Of course, he has the game tonight on Access, the Western Hockey League on Access. If you have that, wherever you are in this fair province, you can watch the game tonight. But hey, why do that when you can listen to Phil Andrews right here on 620 CKRM? He'll have the pregame show for you as soon as I am done, and then it'll be himself and Jared Dumba at 7 o'clock with the play-by-play as the Pats try to even up this best-of-seven series at 2 games apiece. Going to be a busy night in the Western Hockey League playoffs. Besides this game, all the games in the Eastern Conference are going on tonight in PA. The Raiders try to bounce back from that crushing defeat last night as they take on the Moose Jaw Warriors. Of course, Moose Jaw now leading that series 2-1. Looked like the Raiders were going to have the 2-1 advantage, but Moose Jaw changed that in a big hurry. The Medicine Hat Tigers and Brandon Wheat Kings meet in Dauphin in Game 4 of that series. The Wheat Kings got back into things last night with a victory by a score of 5-3. And in Red Deer, the Rebels will try to stay alive as the Lethbridge Hurricanes have a 3-0 lead on them. The Hurricanes will try to become the first team to advance to the second round. There's also a couple of games out west tonight, one of them in Kennewick, Washington, where the Kelowna Rockets are taking on the Tri-Cities Americans. The Rockets, surprisingly, down 2-0 to Tri-Cities in that series. All right, as we always do on a Wednesday, we go to Toronto and we talk some NFL football with Canada's foremost NFL expert, Jungle Jim Lang. Jim, how are you?
I'm good, Scruffy. Just to add on to what you're talking about with the WHL playoffs, I'm looking ahead at the Memorial Cup. There is a chance that Sault Ste. Marie, who's a one seed in the West, could represent the OHL. And I don't know if people there know it, but their star player is a kid named Morgan Frost, who's Andy Frost's son, the former longtime PA voice of Air Canada Center for the Maple Leafs.
I've heard that, yep. And that Sault Ste. Marie team, Jim, everything I have seen of them, if somebody is going to beat them, they are going to have to put up a hell of a show, because I don't care if you're a Moose Jaw Warrior fan, a Swift Current Bronco fan, a Regina Pats fan, that Sault Ste. Marie team is stacked, and they will be, if they get here, the favorite to win the 100th MasterCard Memorial Cup.
They barely lost a game all season. It's been unbelievable.
I know.
And then you start looking down, Taylor Radish. Oh, they got him. Oh, you start looking at the players like, oh, they are so deep. So, yeah, it's going to be – I love the MasterCard Memorial Cup. I think it's a great bit of Canadian sport. So it'll be interesting to see if they can do it.
You know, I'm sitting here, and I'm just completely random thought. So there's the inflatables right in front of me, and they have – you know, the shooter tutor?
Yes,
they have a picture of a Pats goaltender in there. Why wouldn't you have, like, a Warrior goaltender or a Bronco goaltender or any other team goaltender except for the Pats?
That's a very good point. Or the face of, like, if I was in the NHL, I would put Brad Marchand's face in every shooter tutor and just hammer the puck at it.
I was saying earlier in the show, that guy could play on my team any day of the week.
He is so good. I bet he's such a rat. But, I mean, yeah, that's a very good point, Scruffy.
Yep. I'm just a random thought that just came up. So the NFL,
yep.
They made some changes this week. One of yes. them, the catch rule, which hopefully now will make things better there. But as I said on this show yesterday, the debate about whether or not it's a catch or not a catch is going to probably be replaced by should that be a targeting hit or not. And I think that the NFL here, I like what they've done, don't get me wrong, but I just think they're opening up a huge kettle of fish by having this targeting penalty and ejections if they think a player is guilty of it.
And I to that end, I mean, I'm not disagreeing, but in 2010, I was at Eagles training camp, and Walt Coleman was one of the senior officials, and they showed a video of a new rule in 2010 they were instituting. You could not hit a receiver from above the neck and below the knee when they were going out to catch a pass. And they had examples of people hitting players, and one of them was Ray Lewis, and he put a shoulder into the midsection of a receiver as he caught the ball. And they're saying this is what we want defenders in the National Football League to do, is to hit between the shoulders and basically the top of the knees and the shoulders when you're hitting a receiver. So at least they're from the knees down and from the neck up is protected. And at first there was a lot of grumbling about it, but eventually people got it. And one of the people at the forefront was Pete Carroll, and he did like a whole video that he's put out to high schools and colleges across America of proper tackling. And that was, people talk about the Legion of Boom, but they were very good about making sure head across the body, you know, you're in the position, you're trying to target. Now, there's no way to account for if the running back or receiver at the last second trying to catch the ball ducks his head down. That happens. But if the receiver, all things are equal, going up to catch the ball, they're being hit in that midsection. It's going to hurt. They may get injured, but they're not going to blow their knee or have a concussion.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that they're opening up a whole new controversy by doing this. And we'll have to see how things go, but right now, though, it just looks a little strange. Another thing I saw today is it looks as if we are going slowly getting to the end of the kickoff in the National Football League. And you have to think if that's happening there, it's going to happen here sooner or later as well.
Oh, yeah. Are you talking about the one where the no more unnecessary PATs after a walk-off touchdown?
Yep. Well, no, not only that, but now they're looking at just because they've got some numbers out that say that there's still as many injuries, even though we moved the kickoffs back to the 35-yard line, and you get the ball now at the 25 instead of the 20, that we're still seeing as many injuries. So they're just looking now as like, okay, you got your touchdown, you got your field goal, ball's at the 25-yard line, let's go,
now,
which I don't like.
If you just said a touchdown now is 7 points, we've decided we're doing away with the point after touchdown. Now, a field goal kicker still has a job because that is offensive difference between winning and losing a Super Bowl, we've seen. They still need a guy who can kick off, and you still need a field goal kicker. But from now on, you score a touchdown, you get 7 points. End of debate. And just move on.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, and I wonder if, you know, well, first off, the NFLPA is going to go, well, that's 32 jobs you're taking away from us if you take the kicker away. And you know,
but the kicker still has to kick off and have the field goal, so
yeah,
he's still going
to
have a job.
Yeah, but really, though, is he? Because he's not kicking off anymore. Like, they're just going to put the ball at the 25-yard line. They're not going to have a kickoff. His only job's going to be to kick a field goal.
But right now, if I have a guy who can kick 85, 90% accuracy for field goals, that might be the difference between making the playoffs and keeping my job and missing. So,
like
Blair Walsh? Yeah, right. I mean, we can go on and on about all the kickers who's let team down or let their team down in the postseason or in crunch time. There's a long list of them. And so I still think a good kicker is a vitally important player in an offense in the NFL because they can make the difference. And people talk about Mike Vanderjagt, and he had his moments, but there was a game they were in Denver, and it was snowing, and he kicked 3 50-yard field goals in that one game. The Colts won the game. And because he just couldn't move the ball in the snow, but he nailed 350-plus-yard field goals.
Look at Adam Vinatieri in the Tuck Rule game.
Oh, Adam Vinatieri's whole career has been one clutch kick after another.
Yep.
I still think a field goal kicker is vitally important. Because of the field goal, because of usually where it is in the point of the game, They have to deal with the weather, the wind, the you know, all these different factors go into it. And we've seen clutch field goals where the holder bobbles a snap and the timing's off and things happen. It's not always perfect.
Jim, nobody is not tradable anymore. We found that out August 8th, 1988, when the Edmonton Oilers traded Wayne Gretzky to the LA Kings.
Yep.
Anybody can get traded. We know that. The Giants weren't a very good team last year, even though Odell Beckham Jr. didn't play a lot of the season. But is Odell Beckham Jr. going to get traded by the New York Giants? Because the more and more I read, the more and more I think this is going to happen. And the Giants are obviously a team in a rebuild. They've got the number two draft pick, and they're probably going to take a quarterback. But, man, you're taking a big chance here by getting rid of your, not just your marquee player, but one of the league's marquee players.
Okay, now what they're asking for is two first-round picks for Odell Beckham Jr. Now, if I'm the Tennessee Titans, I'm on the phone right now saying, I'll do the deal right now. Let's sign off on it.
Yeah.
They're picking 25th overall in the first round in Tennessee. They went 9-7 and made the playoffs with really nothing at receiver. They have Delanie Walker tight end, but their receivers are okay. Now, you add Odell Beckham Jr. to Marcus Mariota and that team, you're like, well, wait a second. Maybe Tennessee's got something going on there. And, you know, and people are talking about the Rams. They've made all this moves on defense. Why wouldn't they make a run for him?
If you've
put the word out there that it'll cost two first-round picks, and you think you're going to be a really good team the next few years, that means you're giving up two late first-round picks. You'll gamble with that to get a player like that. And if you're the Giants, you know you have a high first round, you can get that depth player. So, like, in the first couple rounds, you're going to get three roster players for the next couple years in your rebuild. So they are going to get a lot of offers for that, you know, those two first-round picks. For Odell Beckham Jr. If it's going to be two first-round picks, a lot of teams are going to go, we could totally justify that because we have extra second- and third-round picks in previous deals, so we'll be okay.
Right. Jim, switching from the NFL to Major League Baseball, tomorrow the grind starts. The first pitch will be thrown for the 2018 season. The first game will go in Miami with the Marlins taking on the Chicago Cubs. Go Cubs. Later on in the afternoon, it's going to be, I think, an emotional afternoon when they retire Roy Halladay's number.
Jays
open up the season against the Yankees. Jim, is there any optimism? Like, I see some people going, wow, this Toronto team can be a playoff team and they can be a walk. Jim, I don't see it.
Scruffy, to say that they're going to be a wild card team is dreaming in technicolor. It'll be fun. Maybe they'll have some moments. Maybe they will win 82, 83 games and keep it close. But they just don't have the horses, the big guys. They just don't. And you play New York and Boston, what 30 sometimes combined? I'm just trying to do the math in my head. That's, you know, what are you going to do against Chris Sale when you're going up against Boston? You know, what are you going to do against that Yankees lineup? I mean, Jay Happ, it's nice. We'll see what he can do, but they're not going to be a disaster, but they're not going to be a playoff team. They just don't have enough players. They just don't.
Jim, can they win 70 games this year?
Oh, yeah. I think they can win over 75 games.
Can they be a 500 team?
Yeah, I think they can flirt with that 500 record. I really do. But not a playoff team. That's just too ambitious.
I just think they're like a 68 to 72 win team this year.
Scruffy, is baseball starting the regular season so early. Now, it's fine in places like Tampa Bay, Toronto with a dome, and, you know, warmer weather, but you got Detroit and New York City hosting opening games tomorrow afternoon. It's going to be some pretty nasty weather to kick off the season.
Jim, they always open up the first weekend of April. For whatever reason, they've decided to do it on a Thursday instead of a Sunday night. I'm not really sure what the rationale behind that is. When the season's so long, they're going until November. I don't know how late can you start it. But I know where you're coming from on that. But when they're going until November, it's like the Stanley Cup playoffs. Can we just get this over with after a while?
I always like the poor relief pitcher with the is dressed to go to Nunavut, Arctic exhibition, waiting for the call with those massive mittens and Duke freezing out there in the bullpen.
That's why I think they loved last year, the fact that it was the Houston Astros and the L.A. Dodgers in the World Series, because both those cities, weather wasn't going to be an issue, and it wasn't. Of course, at Dodger Stadium last night, something else was an issue, but that's another story in itself. Jim, anything else before I let you go?
No, I think that, you know, it's interesting. There's a big debate around here in Toronto about whether or not Connor McDavid is an MVP candidate. And I've heard that around the NHL. But can he be the MVP on a team that doesn't make the playoffs? And I say yes, he can be. I'm not saying he's going to win, but he certainly deserves to be serious consideration. And everything points to him, you know, another 100-point season and winning the scoring race again. So, yeah, he should be considered for the MVP. Where would Edmonton be without him?
Not in the playoffs. Where are they with him? And that's the bottom line as far as I'm concerned. And as I said, Connor McDavid's the best player in the NHL. I don't argue that, but yeah. I just don't think he's one of the top three players for MVP this year. I think Nathan MacKinnon is the odds-on favorite. I think you've got to put Malkin in there. I think you've got to put
Kucherov.
I said McKinnon, Taylor Hall. Kucherov has dipped the last couple of weeks, but I know where you're going on that.
Yeah.
Anze Kopitar's a big. Eric Staal's got 40 goals for Minnesota, for God's sake.
But I don't think Eric Staal's
in the same breath as McDavid, but like, there's a lot of guys this year. And you know what? Who in Winnipeg would you. Blake Wheeler's got to be considered, does he not?
Oh, man, what a year they've had. But I mean, if I'm voting right now, it's hard for me not to vote for MacKinnon. Oh, boy, what a year he's had.
No, exactly. Jim, always good talking to you. Always good talking NFL. We will talk to you next Wednesday.
Take care, Scruffy.
All right, that is Jungle Jim Lang, Canada's foremost expert on the NFL. When we come back, we will wrap it up here from the Brandt Center. We're in about 40 minutes' time. It'll be the Pats and the Broncos, game four of this best-of-seven series. Could it be the last home game for the Pats until the Memorial Cup? It might be. Remember that as you're driving in. You're listening to the Sports Cage and the Mako Hockey Wednesday on 620 CKRM. We're wrapping things up with you from the Brandt Center on this Wednesday night, the Mako Hockey Wednesday. The rink slowly starting to fill up. As soon as I am off the air, Regina's version of Mike Lang and Phil Bork, Phil Andrews and Jared Dumba will take over as they'll bring you game four. Man, did I just compare Jared Dumba to Phil Bork? Sorry, Phil. You had an NHL career. But they'll have the pregame show for you. You know I love you, Jared. They'll have the pregame show for you right away, and then they will have what should be a great game four here from the Brandt Center. And as I said, if Swift Current wins tonight and they win in game five, this could be the last time that the Pats are on home ice until the MasterCard Memorial Cup starts. And Andy in Swift Current has sent a text in on the Prairie Mobile text line. He says if the Broncos beat the Pats, they're going all the way. There's no team good enough to beat them. And then he asks, who does Mitchell Blair think will win tonight, Regina or Swift? Well, Andy, I think the Pats are going to win this game tonight, but I said a month and a half ago the Swift Current Broncos were the top team in the Eastern Conference, and I predicted that the Swift Current Broncos would play the Portland Winterhawks in the Western Hockey League Championship. I stand by that, so I guess you have your answer as to who I think is going to win this series. But I do think the Pats are going to win this game tonight. I think it's going to be another low-scoring game. I think it's going to be a game very similar to what we saw in games one and two. Are we going to see overtime tonight? We could very well see overtime tonight. It wouldn't surprise me. It could be an early, early Thursday morning for a lot of people, if you know what I mean. Of course, this is not the only game in the Western Hockey League tonight. The other Eastern Conference series also going on. One of them could end tonight. That's the series between the Lethbridge Hurricanes and the Red Deer Rebels. Lethbridge last night, and a goal by Caleb Addison beat the Rebels 5-4 in overtime to take a 3-0 lead in that series. So they will look to try and end the Rebels season tonight in Red Deer, in Dauphin. The Wheat Kings will try to even things up with the Medicine Hat Tigers at two games apiece. It was all Medicine Hat in Brandon. They won 7-2 and 7-3, but Brandon found a way to get back in the series last night, winning 5-3. Meanwhile, up in Prince Albert, can't imagine what it'll be like at the Arthauser Center tonight. The Raiders, oh so close to taking a 2-1 lead in that series, but Moose Jaw found a way to come back. They scored twice with the net empty to tie it, and then they won it in a Braden Burke goal 19 seconds into overtime. Has that killed the Raiders? As I said earlier in the show, I think the first 10 minutes of that game are going to be huge tonight. If Moose Jaw comes out and gets out to an early lead, 1-0, 2-0, I think that could be an ugly game. If the Raiders can hold off the Warriors in that first 10 minutes, we could still have a series there, and it wouldn't surprise me to see the Raiders win that game tonight, but it also wouldn't surprise me to see Moose Jaw walk away with that game and then go on to win the series in five. As for what we're going to see here tonight, well, like I said, I think we're going to see another close checking game here tonight, and I think the Pats are going to win this game, and then we'll see what happens in game five. That will go on Friday, and then game six back here, if it's necessary, on Saturday night in a 7 o'clock start. So that is it from here. It's been a Mako Hockey Wednesday. Great show. Thanks to all our guests, Rich Sutter, Jim Lang, and, of course, thanks to you, Saskatchewan, for tuning in to the province's number one sports show. We will be back with you tomorrow. Roddy will be in the big chair. Derek Myers and I will be co-pilots, as we usually are, on a Thursday. Nevin Chamney has produced this fine telecast. And as I said, we'll go to break. And when we come back on the other side, it is the Western Hockey League Game 4. The Pats and the Broncos from the Brandt Center. Do the Pats even it at 2? Phil Andrews and Jared Dumba will tell the tale when we come back. You've been listening to The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.